from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Here we go. 5 seconds left at the Kansas City 10. Third and goal. Jackson is in the gun. He's got three receivers split. Three on the line. Six in the secondary for the Chiefs. Shotgun snap. He moves up in the pocket. Right tackle block. He runs around in a circle. Cocks his arm. Throws in the end zone. It's caught in the back of the end zone with the feet down. Likely got it. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Baltimore! Likely! Back of the end zone. And a leap holds it down. And they'll go for two.
Ruling on the field is a touchdown. The ruling of touchdown.
He caught it. Were his feet in. Oh, one was, and the toe of the other looks like it's on the chalk. Oh, this is close. I think he's out of bounds.
I'm with you, Kevin.
I think he's out of bounds.
The runner's toe hit out of bounds. It's an incomplete pass. The game is over. Kansas City has won.
I mean, does the NFL never not deliver? I mean, it's unbelievable how it is so good. The wait was worth it. The NFL's first game, almost as good as the last game last year. The Super Bowl was amazing. Last night's 2024 opener at Arrowhead was damn good, too. That last play, Kevin Harlan with Kurt Warner, I think that sounded like, on the call. Great call there by Kevin Harlan. A toe, an inch, maybe a half inch away for the Ravens and a chance to beat the Chiefs with a 2-point conversion. Harbaugh was going for two if that touchdown stood. It didn't, and it shouldn't have. So the Chiefs win it 27-20, a thriller at the end. A really good game leading up to the end, despite the officiating with the Sean Hockley crew doing their best to steal our joy on opening night. Good morning, Football Friday, first one of the year involving the NFL. We had a quasi-Football Friday last week heading into the first full college football weekend of the year. Of course, around these parts, Washington at Tampa Bay, Sunday at 4:25, the start of what we hope is a long, successful run for a football team that has been completely remade. New front office, new coaching staff, 30 new players. More than half of those 30 new players will end up starting, meaning more than half of the starters this year will be brand new. And of course, one of those brand new starters, Jaden Daniels. Sunday at Tampa, the first chance to see the Heisman Trophy winner, the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, as an NFL quarterback. Rookie QBs to start season openers since the merger are 16-35-1. In recent years, over the last five seasons, 0-7-1. Rookie quarterbacks to start the season opener in their rookie year. The last rookie quarterback to start a season opener and win was Sam Darnold with the Jets back in 2018 against the Lions. The keys to a Jaden Daniels successful debut and this football team breaking that rookie QB trend for a win over Tampa Sunday coming up later on in the show. Ben Standig will join us at 12. We've got a smell test on the show today. I was telling Denton before, man, there are a ton of games that kind of fit the contrarian handicapping model. Just trying to get some more information in here before I finalize this thing. We will have a smell test. Denton will do a college football preview today. Maryland and Michigan State, with the Terps being 9.5-point favorites, they've got a chance to get to 2-0, get another chance to see that offense with Billy Edwards Jr. It looked really good last week. Michigan State's pretty good defensively. They're not a good team overall, but they're pretty good defensively. A big spot for Maryland tomorrow, 3:30, and some big games starting at noon with Texas going to the Big House to face Michigan. But let's start with more on last night's game, Denton. So I have a bunch of notes here, and I don't know if they're going to kind of follow chronologically. And we'll get to the end of the game, and we'll get to Lamar missing on two throws prior to that last throw to Likely. But a couple of things that I kind of just jotted down last night. First of all, there were 11 kickoffs in the game last night and just two returns. I told you yesterday, I thought one team is just going to decide. I don't know which team it'll be. One team's just going to decide to kick it into the end zone and let the other team start at the 30. That team was Kansas City. They decided, after all of the offseason, remember, about potentially using Justin Reed as the kicker on kickoffs, they decided that Harrison Butker would just boot it through the end zone and they'd give Baltimore the ball at the 30. Baltimore gave Kansas City a chance on two returns, so we'll see if this is a weekend trend, if teams are just going to say, you know what, it's not worth the risk, go ahead, start at the 30. And then what the competition committee will have to do is they'll have to decide whether or not to penalize the touchback with five more yards and have the team start at their own 35. The two returns in the game, by the way, went to the 31 and 33-yard line, so just beyond the 30, although one of the two returns, there was a penalty. The Chiefs were backed up to their own 19 after the penalty on that return. So there's your first regular season game with the new kickoff rules. It looks like the teams are not going to hesitate booting it out of the end zone and letting the other team start at the 30. We'll see whether or not that trend holds up over the weekend. The illegal formation penalty last night, three of them on that opening drive, you know, on Ronnie Stanley, but not Juwan Johnson, who appeared to false start a couple of times, and it wasn't called. The Sean Hockley crew was just insufferable last night. They did everything they could to, you know, take over and be the focal point of opening night. You know, Hockley's crew stepped back a little bit last year. They had always been one of the most flag-happy crews in the NFL. Not the most flag-happy crew, but one of the top three or four typically. Last year, they were kind of in the middle of the pack. But last night, my God, enough already. You know, are we really going to, you know, that is a, hey, left tackle, right tackle, scoot on up, get on up there, be, you know, or we're going to start flagging it. Now, I didn't think Baltimore adjusted to it very well. I couldn't believe it wasn't called on the Chiefs. Maybe it was the angle that we were looking at it from, but that was a bit much, as was much of the night with the Sean Hockley crew. Xavier Worthy's debut. Whoa. I mean, we knew he was fast. We knew he was explosive. You know, it's going to be really interesting because I don't think, Denton, he's a great route runner. Not yet, anyway. What he is an incredible vertical threat. And the speed, I don't think he's Tariq Hill. I don't think he's got that wiggle that he has. I don't think he's got that route running ability that Hill has. I think it's one of the reasons he was available for Kansas City. But still, what a debut. Two touchdowns on a reverse and then on a broken coverage where he was wide open and scored. That speed is going to be utilized. Look, Andy Reid's had it before, had it with DeSean Jackson. You know, a similar kind of player. So they've got more playmaking offensively that will likely lead to Kansas City being a better offensive football team this year. Pacheco is still special to me, man, to watch. I don't know that there's a back in the league that runs harder than he does. Just looking down my notes before we get to the end, which we'll spend some time on. Why can't Justin Tucker kick long field goals anymore? He was 1 for 5 last year from beyond 50, and he missed from 53 last night. So that's an issue for Baltimore. I mean, the great you could argue one of the greatest kickers that's ever lived, the guy that holds the record for the longest kick in NFL history, 66 yards in Detroit a few years ago, and he's now 1 for 6 in the regular season in his last 7 kicks of 50 or more. By the way, I meant to mention, you know, did you see when Spagnuolo ran down the sideline to call a timeout and they granted the timeout? People were going nuts because an assistant coach is not allowed to do that. It's got to be the head coach that calls the timeout. And Spagnuolo's running down the sideline to get a timeout defensively. They actually did grant that timeout to Kansas City because Andy Reid also signaled for a timeout. I don't know if people saw that, but there was... You know, there was a shot of Reid also calling a timeout. Now, Spagnuolo made a mistake by doing what he did. He's got to go to Andy Reid, need it. And, but, you know, they granted it, but it was not one of those officiating mistakes last night. John Harbaugh burning 2 timeouts on defense early in the second half really hurt Baltimore at the end. First of all, they only got 3 shots, you know, at the end. They didn't get a 4th opportunity. That was a 3rd down throw to Isaiah Likely on the final play of the game. Now, people will, you know, that are into this stuff, like me, tend to immediately jump to what you think is the obvious, which is, what are you doing? Don't you know how sacred these timeouts are? In the second half of a game in particular, you can't burn them that way early in the third quarter. See, here's where I would just offer up, you know, the devil's advocate. And that would be if they burn those 2 timeouts to save points or to save massive plays because they had the wrong personnel. They had a linebacker matched up against Xavier Worthy, as an example. You can't immediately jump to the conclusion that they screwed it up defensively by using those timeouts if you don't know what they were using them for, and I don't. So it's very possible. Look, offensively, when you burn them on a 2nd down in, you know, on a 3rd down in 22 on a play in which you're about to get a delay a game, that's stupid. You know, that's ridiculous. Or you burn a timeout defensively on a 1st and goal from the 1-inch line. You know, when a penalty, you know, you could jump off sides and it's not going to cost you. There are certain things where it is stupid to burn them. And I would say in most cases, you don't want to burn timeouts on you know, in the third quarter or the first quarter either. You want those at the end of the game. But you don't know what it saved. You know, you don't know that they didn't have 10 players on the field defensively. And then if you said, well, they should have had the right personnel on the field. Understood. But if they didn't, and they're about to give up a touchdown, you know, it essentially may have saved the opportunity to have an opportunity at the end. All right, let's get to the end, Denton. Okay, let's get to the end. And I just want to start with this. Lamar Jackson's special, man. We'll get to what he missed at the end. But this team, this franchise, over the last several years, has no chance without Lamar Jackson. He is a 2-time MVP for a reason. He's a great player. He made great plays last night. I don't know if they want him running that much, but it certainly seems like he is going to run more. If last night's an indication Okay, if last night's an indication, they're going to turn Lamar Jackson loose much more as a runner than they did last year. That was the most rush attempts he's had in a Todd Monken-coached offense. He did not have 16 carries in a game last year, including the postseason. Last night, 16 rushes, 122 yards, and they weren't all scrambles. There were zone reads, there was quarterback keeper, there was quarterback counter, there was quarterback sweep, and then there were, you know, some scrambles in there as well. He also made some incredible throws, including that throw to Likely, which scored the touchdown that made it, 20-17. The throw to Bateman at the end. If you're going to crush Lamar Jackson today, you have to preface it with, he's great. And the Ravens would have no chance in a season or in these games against the Chiefs without him, even though he is now 1-5 as a starting quarterback against the Chiefs. Basically, all of the losses have been super close. And the one win was that 36-35 Monday nighter or Sunday nighter a few years ago. But look, at the end, this is where the criticism is justified. Because when you have to have it from the pocket or extending a play, he wasn't able to deliver. And that first down throw to Likely is, I think, because the second down one might be a little bit murky, and I'll explain in a second. That first down throw to Isaiah Likely, he's wide open. You can't throw the ball out of the end zone. You have to give him a chance. He's got a step and a half on the defender. He's been your go-to guy all night long. He had 9 catches for 111 yards and a touchdown, almost a 10th catch, and 2 touchdowns. You cannot miss that throw. Patrick Mahomes doesn't miss that throw. This is where Lamar Jackson has to get over the hump. The criticism of Lamar Jackson in some big moments in the postseason in particular. Last night was not a postseason game. It may ultimately determine where a postseason matchup against the Chiefs is played. Long way to go on that. But you've got to make that throw. He's wide open. That is a pitch and catch in the NFL for quarterbacks that are solid as in-the-pocket quarterbacks. The second one, look, he's creating a little bit off schedule. And Zay Flowers is not just open, he is wide open, and he completely misses him. Now, where it gets murky is some of the conversation with some football people that I was listening to late last night and even early this morning. You know, is he expecting him to sit down? Is he actually seeing another receiver potentially? And at the same time, you know, guys like Orlovsky and others are saying once he gets that hand up, he's signaling that he's moving. He's not sitting it down. And ultimately, from our seat, to me, you got to somehow throw to a guy that's wearing your colored jersey who is wide open in the end zone. And you have created more time, which Lamar is brilliant at doing, which he did on the third down play. But he didn't. And so here he is again. In one of these spots where it's like this, it is definitely this conflict in conversation of, well, they'd never be there without him, which is 100% true. They would have never been the number one seed in the AFC last year without him. That's 100% true. They're not even close in a game last night where, by the way, they were dominated at the line of scrimmage. Their offensive line was dominated at the line of scrimmage. And yet, there he is with, you know, basically 400 yards of offense total created by this one player with a changed offensive line and a struggling offensive line. And he's got them down there knocking on the door with a chance to, you know, go for two and win the game. But at the same time, before that third down throw, he's got two opportunities that I think you have to convert on, and he didn't. Really, really entertaining, thrilling season opener. The NFL delivered last night. It just always seems to deliver. And we get another one tonight with Philly and Green Bay. Denton, what were your impressions? What was your reaction to last night's game?
So I love what you said about Lamar, because I think it's 100% correct. I did feel like their offense was sloppy is not the right word, but I didn't love some of the things that they were drawing up and executing in the first half. It felt like they were relying on swing passes out of the backfield, hoping that their running backs would make somebody miss and then pick up 8, 9, 10 yards every single play. I would have loved to see them move the ball down the field a little bit more in the first half. I think it would have put more pressure on Kansas City, you know, especially given the context of the game where they're the defending champions, they're getting their rings. It's an emotional night for, unfortunately, reasons that have nothing to do with football but are related to their Super Bowl win. So, like, there's so much going in that arena. I would have loved to see them push the ball down the field more rather than kind of settle for these swing passes. But I'll tell you what, man. When did the fall off of Justin Tucker happen? It felt like that happened overnight.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't realize until they put it up on the screen last night when he missed the 53-yarder that he was 1 for 5 from beyond 50 last year. So I can't answer that question. I mean, how old is Justin Tucker? He's been in the league for 15 years, something like that.
He's been in the league for a while. I didn't think he was.
He's only 34.
Yeah, he's not terribly old.
Yeah.
So
he was 32 of 37 last year. That's, you know, 86.5%. But, you know, he only missed one kick that was inside 50 for the year. But this is a guy, I'm looking through his 9 of 14, 50 from 50 and beyond in 22. 6 of 6 in 2021, 50 and beyond. He has a 10 for 10 year, 50 and beyond. He's one of the great long-distance kickers in the history of the league, and he's now 1 for 6 in his last 1 for 6 in his last 6 attempts.
Because that was one of the luxuries they had on offense, where if you get inside, you know, the 45-yard line,
you're kicking.
Your kicker is automatic. So,
yeah.
Like, that, if that is going to be the case, then maybe, you know, there's just one game and it's a small sample size, and by week 6 or whatever, he's fine. But if this is what he's going to be, like, that does have to influence how you call the offense in those areas.
Yeah. What else?
I think the biggest takeaway that I have is more post-game. Baltimore's annoying as hell. They are so annoying losers. You know, they don't have any concept.
Play the Isaiah Likely soundbite, because I asked you to pull that one because I read it this morning. I have not heard it yet, but this was really the other offensive star of the game for Baltimore last night, their tight end Isaiah Likely after the game.
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
You can't say that. You cannot say that. Your team is 1-5 against the Chiefs over the last 4 seasons. Every game being a big one. Last year, obviously, in the AFC Championship game. Good luck? What do you mean good luck? You need the luck. They don't need the luck. That is really stupidity after a game. And it's hard because it's the emotion of it. They're getting caught after a very devastating loss, even though it's just the first of 17, you got to have a little bit more self-awareness than to say, you know what? Baltimore did not play a great game. I'm with you about what you said about them offensively. They were sloppy at times. They definitely went to the check down a lot. They went to the quick game a lot. But it was very intentional, Denton. They knew that they had a mismatch up front with their kind of revamped offensive line against Kansas City's front. My God, can somebody block Chris Jones? I mean, he seemed to tire at the end, but he was wrecking the game there. Even though Baltimore, with the illegal formation penalties and getting wrecked at the line of scrimmage, still went down on their opening drive and scored. You know, some really good plays by Lamar and a really good touchdown run by Derrick Henry. I also thought about Baltimore's offense last night. It was interesting in watching it. In one game, like we should be saying to ourselves after our game Sunday, it's not a referendum on anything. It just isn't in the NFL, especially week one. But they're going to have to figure out what they are offensively. Because in signing Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry doesn't have those big Derrick Henry games getting 13 carries. You've got to heat the bus up. You got to get him going. You've got to give him room to get downhill. And it doesn't look right now like they've got an offensive line built for that. And he's not, I say he's not a gun runner, and then he might be a gun runner because he was with Mariota in Tennessee. He was kind of with Tannehill, although they were under center a bunch. And they were under center a little bit last night too. But, you know, is it going to be a Justice Hill? Is it going to be quick game? Is it going to be trying to get the, Likely and Bateman and Flowers and... Or are you going to, be a downhill smash mouth team with your quarterback involved in the run game and Derrick Henry involved in the run game? That's going to be interesting. It's early. And by the way, it may just be they were matched up against an excellent defensive team because Kansas City pretty much shut them down in the championship game as well. But I thought they were sloppy at times too. And Lamar just overcame the sloppiness with one incredible play after another. This dude, he lost, what did he lose, 15 pounds in the offseason? Something like that. He's down to like 208, I think.
Super, super slim. They only mentioned it about 80 times on the broadcast.
He looks faster. Now, we'll see if that body type will hold up. That's just not a good comment. Now, Lamar, you've got another soundbite. Lamar was asked about whether or not, I think it had something to do, I'm paraphrasing here, with whether or not the Chiefs are his kryptonite. Here's what he said.
You say the Chiefs are not your kryptonite, but no. Seeing how last season ended and this season has begun, what does it say about your team in measuring up against the two-time champs?
Yeah, I believe our offense... We got new additions, and we just getting adjusted, I don't want to say preseason is the reason, because it wasn't, because we battled. You can see it, we put points on the board, and we just got to do what we got to do to win those games. Simple.
Can I just tell you something? I love Lamar Jackson. I just love everything about him. There is something about him that is so likable. And everybody in that organization loves Lamar Jackson. I hope that Baltimore, I've never been a Baltimore rooter or a Baltimore fan. I root against a lot of what Baltimore offers up. But I'm rooting for him to get over the hump. And last night, he was so good on Denton, as you described, a sloppy night offensively, a night in which they were getting absolutely manhandled at times at the line of scrimmage, and yet they had a chance at the end to, tie the game, or they were going to go for two. Several of you said, asked me, would it have been the right move for Harbaugh to go for two? Look, Harbaugh's been, just ask him. He's his own greatest fan when it comes to how edgy he is with analytics. And a lot of it's backfired on him over the years, more so than it's been helpful. I actually think last night, had they scored going for two, Kansas City's defense looked exhausted. That was a long last drive. Lamar is an X factor, clearly, on a 2-point conversion opportunity. I don't know what the numbers are off the top of my head. I probably can look them up. I would bet that Baltimore is a higher percentage 2-point conversion team. I don't know if they're higher than 50. The league average is less than 50. You certainly aren't uncomfortable with an extra point and going to overtime either, but I think that if they have the right play, and they feel good about it. They've got the right quarterback in that instance. I think Kansas City looked drained. I mean, Chris Jones came off the field on a couple of those plays. That last drive was 11 plays. So they were reeling a little bit. The drive before the last drive was a 13-play drive. So they had dominated kind of the fourth quarter time of possession, and I think it would have been the right move there. It's not an on-the-road versus home thing. To me, that's a small part of the context. It's, what's the game situation in the moment? Do you have the right play or combination of plays? Or have you already used your play that you they have multiple 2-point conversion plays? All of that goes into it. But based on Kansas City sucking win there at the end, I thought it would have been the right call for Baltimore to have gone for the two and the win. And anybody that played Baltimore plus the three would have loved that as an option, going for the two, because that would have meant a one-point loss or a one-point win. Winner, either way. All right, time to focus on our own team. Love that game last. That game had so much. You know, it's so much more fun to talk about actual real games. Both of those teams are going to be there. I think Ben texted me last night late and said, is it crazy to think that how this game ends basically may determine the MVP of the season? I mean, it will be one of those things. If these two guys are vying for the MVP, as they have been year in and year out here for the last many years, it could be a decider. It absolutely could be a decider. All right, our team. So Denton and I yesterday gave our predictions for the upcoming season. We told you what we thought. We will repeat those season predictions, but we're also going to throw in three bold predictions on top of it. What I want from you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, is I want your season record prediction, and I want one bold prediction footnote for the year. Something that you feel really strongly about, but it's bold. It's out there. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your Washington season record prediction with one prediction that's bold as a footnote. Denton and I will give you a couple of footnotes to our season prediction, which we gave on yesterday's show. But phone lines, they are open. 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
.com. Record prediction for the year and one bold footnote. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. So Denton and I yesterday, we were on record with our official. I'm at 10-7. That's bold enough, man. We're going to each have a couple of additional bold predictions, but 10-7 is pretty bold. Wild card berth as well. Pretty bold. And as optimistic as I've been in forever. Denton was at, wait, where were you again? I'm forgetting.
I was 8-9.
You're 8-9. We've both already given one bold prediction for the year, so I'll repeat mine and you can repeat yours. Mine is that Brian Robinson Jr., 1,200 plus yards rushing, maybe good for top three, top five in the NFL, 50 plus catches, and he ends up with his first Pro Bowl appearance. That was my first bold prediction. Your first bold prediction had to do with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I think Terry's going to break the single season receiving yard record that Santana Moss set back in his first year here back in 2005. That number was 1483, by the way.
Yeah, 1483. All right, my second bold footnote to the season is that Zach Ertz catches 80-plus passes, most for him in 5 years, and that may actually lead the team in receptions, but worst case, it would be second best on the team. Zach Ertz has a huge year. 80 catches, by the way, would put him in the top 5, 6, 7 in terms of tight ends in the league and receptions. I'm predicting a big year for Zach Ertz. What's your second bold footnote?
So my second prediction is that Jamin is going to have over 5.5 sacks. And the reason that I'm considering this bold is because despite the fact that we spent a lot of the offseason talking about Jamin Davis, whether he's going to make the team, where he'll play if he makes the team, I don't think he's going to play a ton. So, like, you'll see him maybe 10 to 15 snaps, it feels like, per week. But I think he'll be able to, towards the end of the year, start to have success, get more comfortable. And I think he's going to come away with 5.5 sacks this year.
I bet the over-under is much less than that on him.
I don't think there's a market for his over-under. Not legally, at least. You might have to go behind a dumpster and work it out.
All right, my third and final bold footnote to the season, and I don't even know if this is that bold. Daron Payne, yes, Ian, I love Daron Payne, I do. But Daron Payne has a big year with this particular surrounding core and this coaching staff. Look, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. haven't been super complex in their front seven. They are certainly scheme up pass rush in unique ways. But in terms of just base run defense, I think Daron Payne's going to have another big season comparable to the season that he had in 2022. By the way, I thought about John Allen, too, for this final bold footnote, because I think actually both are going to have big rebound seasons. Maybe this isn't that bold, but I am going to say that Daron Payne ends up having a Pro Bowl caliber year. I don't know if it'll be a starter as a Pro Bowl guy or, you know, an alternate, but he's going to approach that sack total from 2022, which was 11.5. I don't know if he'll get there at 11.5, but it'll be close to double digits, but he'll be dominant at times against the run, and this will be a huge rebound season for Daron Payne. Is that bold? I don't even know if it's that bold. He's a talented, gifted, freakish player. But, you know, some people like to say he had his best year in a contract year. I think Daron Payne has a big season. That's my third and final bold footnote to the season. What's yours?
So my final one kind of contradicts your second one slightly. But I think by the end of the year, the definitive tight end one is going to be Ben Sinnott. You and I talked to him on draft night. Super good kid. They love his athleticism. I'm excited to see, as the season progresses, him get more comfortable, get more opportunities on the field. And I think by the end of the year, we're going to be looking at him as the tight end of the future on the team.
You know, I actually thought a lot about him as a bold prediction, as a guy that ends up being a massive producer this year. But I couldn't. I decided to go with Ertz instead because I just think the rookie quarterback. I've heard Kingsbury say enough that Ertz is going to be kind of a safety blanket. He hasn't used those words exactly, but I think there will be a big-time connection. But I think Sinnott will be a big part of what they do as well. All right, 301-230-0980. I see everybody lined up on the phones. Stay there. We got to get to another break. I want your record prediction for the season and one bold footnote. This is not filibuster time. Be quick, to the point. We got a lot of calls. Want to get through all of them. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
Major League Baseball, Nats are in Pittsburgh. They fall to the Pirates 9-4. Jake Irvin pitched five innings, allowing six runs on seven hits. He struck out four. They play again tonight at 6:40 in Pittsburgh. DJ Hertz on the mound for the Nats. In the NFL's season opener, Kansas City defeats Baltimore 27-20. Patrick Mahomes goes 20-28 for 291 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Lamar goes 26-41, 273 and a touchdown. He also had 122 yards rushing on 16 carries. Tonight at 7, you can watch 20th-ranked Francis Tiafoe take on 12th-ranked Taylor Fritz, a battle of two Americans in the U.S. Open semis. The winner will get to the final. That will be played on Sunday. On the women's side, 6th-ranked Jessica Pegula won last night, which means she will play in the final on Saturday. In college football, USC announces they're going to retire Reggie Bush's number 5 and Caleb Williams' number 13. And that's what's trending.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. This segment of the show is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right. Final record prediction and one bold footnote. Let's start with Gary. Gary, go ahead.
Good morning. Record is 5-12. Bold footnote, either Emmanuel Forbes or Jamin Davis is cut during the season.
All right. That's pretty bold. I mean, the Davis thing would be the favorite on that front. I don't see Emmanuel Forbes getting released. I'm hopeful for Emmanuel Forbes. They love playmakers in their secondary, and he has that ability. Let's go to Cyrus in Hyattsville. Cyrus, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, I'm with you. 10-7 is my final record. I have a lot of good feelings about the upcoming season, and I think Jaden will play really well. My bold prediction is 5-1 within the division, which includes a sweep of Dallas, New York, and one loss to Philly. It'll be the best division record we've had in quite some time, and I think the first time we've swept Dallas since, what, 2020? But yes, that's my bold prediction.
They beat him up twice, right? But they did not have Dak Prescott in either game, if my memory serves me correctly. Right, weren't they playing DiNuzio or whatever the guy's name? What was it, DiNucci?
Ben DiNucci and Cooper Rush.
In Cooper Rush, yeah. That would be impressive. When's the last time they went at least 5-1 in the division? Did they go 5-1 in 2015 in the division? The last time they won a division title? What did they go in the division in 2020? They swept Dallas. They beat Philly in the opener. I remember that. That was the first game of the Ron Rivera era.
They beat Philly in the closer, too, because that's how they
won
the
division.
They beat
Philly in the closer to clinch. So that's four wins. What did they do against the Giants?
They only had
They lost twice.
Yeah, I was about to say that was when Daniel Jones went crazy because they only had so many wins in that season.
Right. And in 2015, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2 in 2015. Yeah. It's probably been a while since they were 5-1 or better in the division. Remember this. I say this every year. They play 17 games now. Only 6 of them are in the division. You know, you got to do really well in the other 11 to have a good season. All right, let's go to Ian. Ian, record prediction and a bold footnote.
7-10 is my record prediction. Bold prediction is Jonathan Allen is traded at the trade deadline. And comment, man, do you love Deron Payne? It is.
I do.
Crazy to hear.
I, you know what? There's a part of it, Ian. I know what a good dude Deron is too, and what a, you know, easy to coach, and what an affable guy he is around that group. By the way, I don't even know if it's that bold to predict trading John Allen at the deadline, because if they're not in contention, that is the kind of move that would be considered at the deadline. Allen with the, you know, the contract, you're going to have to decide what you want to do with him, and he would bring back value. He would. Shaq, go ahead. Final record prediction and a bold footnote.
Okay, Kevin, I got 10-7, and Brian Robinson leads the NFL in rushing and rushing touchdowns with 16.
Wow. I mean, I'm predicting a big year for Brian Robinson Jr. as well. Leading the league in rushing means that Christian McCaffrey better get hurt. You know, like whoever the top back is, McCaffrey in San Francisco would probably need to miss some games for that to happen. But I love that because I think Brian Robinson Jr. is in for a big year as well. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, final record prediction with a bold footnote.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm going to say, like you, 10-7, and we do make the playoffs and get a playoff win. My bold prediction, the McCaffrey family tree continues, and Luke McCaffrey, like Jaden Daniels, will have a breakout season as a rookie. That's what I'm going to say to that. Take care.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting that he was listed one on the depth chart that they put out, although if you go to the website, they actually don't have him listed as a starter. So I don't know how seriously they take these things when it comes to depth charts. But I do think we're going to see Luke McCaffrey be a contributor. I'm actually very interested, and I know it's like the end of the roster, but who ends up not being active on Sunday? You know, there are a couple of possibilities. I mean, Marcus Mariota is now a possibility because he didn't practice yesterday. So there's something going on with him and whatever injury. I think it was a chest injury or something like that. We'll ask Ben about that. But there's a chance that Marcus Mariota may not be active on Sunday. But, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see, you know, hopefully Brandon Coleman's healthy, ready to go. Johnny Newton's a possibility for that, I would guess. And then to see, you know, just like, what are they doing with Jamin Davis? Is he up? Isn't he? Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Stan in Jersey. Stan, bold prediction with a footnote.
How are you, Kevin?
Hey, Stan.
Well, prediction's 10-7 because I am a Redskin fan, so I have to go with 10-7 for obvious reasons, just because I'm a fan. Bold prediction is, I think we can speak the Stan from Jersey, Kevin Sheehan, rule into existence by committing that automatic foul on third down if the team doesn't get it. It happened last night again. Harbaugh could have done it. If the Chiefs got the first down on that last drive before the two-minute warning, they could have committed that third down to save the timeout. So I just want to say we could speak that rule into existence as a bold prediction. Also, a couple of Saturday nights. I do think the Chiefs holdovers, Wiley and Allegretti, I think they will be benched as my bold prediction. I think Mahomes just masks a lot of greatness, and those guys are just run-of-the-mill guys, and they will be benched. I think McCorn will have a big year. And I wanted to talk to you about that foot being down at the end of the game.
Oh, boy. You're going to tell me that the angle didn't show.
No.
It could have been elevated?
That's Kevin. I'm like that, right? So I just hate that the officials immediately are like, you see the overhead shot, and it's out of bounds from the overhead shots and everything else. But you play sports. You know the toe of the cleat can be lifted up off of the turf. We don't have that angle. I mean, yesterday we did see it on the very last angle down the line where the NBC shot zoomed in. He was out of bounds. But those first four angles, it is not definitive. I don't care what anyone says. You can't tell me that the cleat is not
I'm
up
with you, but
ground.
I think that last one was. Look, I mean, you know me. I was thinking the exact same. You know me. We were thinking the exact same way. I'm like, if there's a chance that the toe is elevated, could they have the call on the field stand? But exactly. I thought that that last and one John showed Perry almost like he was smushing into the paint.
That's the one where you have to overturn it. But Tirico and John Perry are like, after the second replay, the overhead, they're like, it's out of bounds. It's not out of bounds. You can't definitively say that. And I'm just saying, Kevin, wear white cleats. Make it even harder.
I know. Patrick Mahomes said that. Said likely should have been wearing white cleats. It would have been harder to figure out. Thanks, Stan, as always. Aveen, finish it up for us. Bold prediction along with your season record prediction.
Hey, Kevin, I've got 10-7. Bold prediction is the 19-year drought is over. We win a playoff game on the back of Jaden Daniels, who in college had his best games against the best teams in the biggest games. In an NFC full of better teams, but with quarterbacks who are more mentally fragile, more limited, he's going to make some more clutch plays in the fourth quarter against guys like Goff, Purdy, Cousins, Prescott. So we win a playoff game.
Love that, and I think that's bold because 10-7 is already super bold. And then saying that, because my 10-7 in a wild card spot would be the 7 seed, and I would not have them winning at the 2 seed. But to your point, and this is just something that happened in college, we don't know if it'll happen in the NFL, but Jaden Daniels played his best football against the best opponents. The first half and first part of the third quarter in Tuscaloosa last year was brilliant. The game and the comeback against Missouri when he actually was banged up a little bit, incredible. Missouri, one of the better Big Ten teams last year, Big Ten SEC teams last year, especially on defense. The game against A&M's defense at the end of the year, incredible. He did that. The game in 22 where he threw the tight end for the two-point conversion to beat Bama 32-31 in overtime. Mason Taylor, Jason Taylor's son, big time in that game. So if they get there and they get to December and January with some big games, I don't have any doubt that he'll be, you know, ready for that moment. All right, pretty optimistic predictions overall. I mean, just I'm looking at, you know, I think the average of what we got on phone lines would be about a 9.4. No, it's about a 9-8 record. Just over 9, a little bit less than 8 would be the average. So some optimism heading in to this upcoming year. All right, up next, Washington beats Tampa if my keys to Washington winning an opener when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.